Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Sorry, I was just complimenting to sweater weather.
It's so cold this morning. Like, I got up and it's finally happening where it's like my house is cold during the day. I got up and I did a ride, and I did a 45-minute new wave ride.
For
my Peloton heads out there listening, dude, you guys ride too. Christine does very fun new wave rides, and so it's all like Joy Division and Susie and the Banshees.
I love that.
Yeah,
it's got to be like a mood, you know, where certain music, like Morrissey, doesn't really make me want to work out. You know, like
I don't know that I've ridden. I haven't heard one more song. Maybe a Smith song, but that's like different.
Right.
What I mean? But yeah, it's hard. I'm a real music snob when it comes to
SoulCycle.
Everything.
I love too that we just had like our record store episode too, and I'm fully like, fuck yeah, music. I'm really embracing and remembering and thinking about what can I do with that old version of myself. And I was like, maybe it belongs on TikTok since the kids love CDs and want to hear.
There's all sorts of things like that. Like, you know, YouTube has everything, and there's a, I don't know. I got into a weird hole this morning. Nice. I'm not going to lie.
Okay.
You know, I woke up at 7:30, and for an hour and 10 minutes, I was just in a phone hole.
Speaking of weird holes, welcome to Sidework Podcast.
Hi, welcome to Sidework Podcast. I just wanted to keep chatting. That's what I like to do.
I know.
I'm your host, Andrea Wallace. Guys, welcome.
And I'm Brooke Van Poplin. Yes, I hear all that. It's sweater weather here in Los Angeles, which means it's officially the holiday season.
And what I was going to say before, you know, just to cap it, is that there's all sorts of like, play Gen Z 90s songs and see if they can guess them. Play, you know, there's all sorts of like nostalgic, and I don't know. I'm getting older and I'm not like knowing who people are, and I'm just like, here we are.
Yeah, and not to be grumpy about it, if it's good and it slaps, then I'm into it. I just happen to usually be a Luddite about things. I'm slow to adapt. I like what I like, and I'm pretty stubborn about, you know, certain music genre, if you will.
Genre.
Where, like, okay, to be fair, like, some of the younger kids I know, I do know young ones, where I'm like, hey, have you ever like heard a song with like lyrics? You know, where you're like, do you like it when people, I don't know, sing, you know? And so I feel like that's very novel to them. And it's really interesting the way that kids are like discovering cassettes, like we were talking about, like maybe one day they'll go to a stripped down show where someone just plays a piano and they're like, I didn't know I could feel this way, you know? So I'm excited for them to discover that.
Well, I mean, Andre 3000 just put out like a whole new instrumental album, which I haven't even listened to yet. Yes, the controversial flute album dropped.
He's out there flouting, being a flautist.
It was hilarious. I think Leslie Jones made this hilarious joke that was like, basically, we've waited 15 years for this, and you guys, like, white people have turned him into Jethro Tull. Like, This is very good. This is very good. Well, this is our Thanksgiving episode.
Yes.
Hello.
Dropping on a Black Friday, but happy Thanksgiving.
We hope you guys have had a good one so far. All of you that had to work on Thanksgiving, we salute you as we always do. Welcome to the crazy holiday season. So to kick things off, we just have one fun little headline.
Well, yeah, it's kind of speaking of, I hope this boded well for you because of this headline.
Yeah, so half of the consumers in the U.S. plan to order from or dine at restaurants for Thanksgiving this year.
I'm telling you, I tried to talk Sean into it. I think he really wants to bake a little something, which, listen, I love the smell of food cooking all day. That's the fun part of this time of year. And so I'm like, all right, fine. But otherwise, I was like, let's just fucking go out to eat. That sounds so nice.
Yeah, I do really think this is like a specific year where there's so much happening on so many levels.
Yes.
It's just like, let's let the professionals do the work for us.
Yeah, I like that, you know, this article, I don't know, Live 5 WCSC.
Yeah. All I tried to find like a more like a reputable source, but like all of the ones that are showcased in this are like very small news outlets.
Fair enough.
Like scattered throughout the U.S., usually like small TV stations.
Well, to understand why people might be inspired more than usual to eat out or to get pre-made meals. By the way, I heard like Whole Foods kills it. Mm-hmm. But basically it's cost savings and all the crazy inflation of like making so much damn food for so many people. And it's a lot of work. And I think a lot of people, believe it or not, even after everything we've been through in the last couple of years, are feeling even more burned out than usual, you know?
Oh, yeah, absolutely, for sure. So with a poll, they say 64% say it's just easier, 35% don't feel like cooking, 35%, yeah. This is more than 100%, obviously. Right. 35% prefer professionally cooked food, sure, yes. I love that you have that aunt or uncle that's just like, yeah, this is fine, but I really do prefer professionally cooked food. And 24% estimate that it's, you like you said, cheaper to order from restaurants than to buy all the ingredients separately to make a huge dinner. Yeah.
Well, because I was having a moment too where Sean and I are going to go decide the few, like, you know, sort of ingredients we need to gather. And granted, I know this is, you know, Thanksgiving's already happened, but here we are. We're recording on a Monday. But, you know, he really, really wants to make homemade cranberry sauce. And I'm like, but babe, it's like probably going to be two of us. And they don't sell less than a pound of fucking,
you know,
cranberries.
What I was thinking, I was talking to somebody about it, that I think would be better than like, better than canned cranberry. And if you can't make homemade, like get some lingonberry jam. Like you can serve it with Swedish meatballs. Like I think it'd be kind of incredible as a side for turkey.
We're gonna have a talk. Anyways, yeah. We're gonna have a talk. I hope that if those of you who, you know, like to or possibly had the misfortune of working a Thanksgiving dinner shift, I hope that it worked out well for you. Like I said, that used to be a situation where you knew who was coming. You were usually pretty booked out. It's a prefix with gratuity on it, and it can be a lovely, simple, easy and clean day for money making.
Absolutely. And if you're that bartender that opens the bar at 5 to 7 p.m. And has the lonely customers come in, you know, maybe you fill up, maybe you don't. But I hope that you had a good night, too.
Absolutely. And for those of you who are maybe either like catering event or working at a club, like
or like a private party.
Totally.
I'm sure there's like,
oh, God, I'm about to maybe get hooked up with some seasonal catering work, which I'm very excited for.
Great.
But a couple boyfriends and a couple Thanksgivings ago, the family went to this big fancy country club that they paid for everyone to have like a big table in a private room and picked up the check. And it was really fun to go through a crazy fucking smorgasbord of food, which, don't get me wrong, they still had the turkey. For the uncles, you got to have the turkey and the gravy and all that stuff. And it was actually really fun. And I understood like nobody's cleaning up shit. We all got real full. We were happy, got to hang out there for a while and just went back. All good. I like it. No fuss, no muss.
Oh yeah, no fuss, no dishes. Cool. Ha 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 ha. Oh, thank you. Oh, oh. I am putting pancetta in my stuffing this year.
Yes, so of course. That's, yes,
like that's a new fun thing.
You must.
Oh boy, oh boy. Well, I am taking the day after Thanksgiving off for the first time in, I don't know, it feels like decades. I feel like I have worked the day after Thanksgiving for the majority of my adult life. And so I'm happy to report I am not working.
Good for you.
Today, this episode drops, I will be off, possibly hungover. I'm going to get like, you know, I'm going to get drunk with our friend of the show, James Dunn.
Yes.
You know,
pour one out for me, guys. I love it. Well, after we get out of our food comas, let's keep in mind that it is a long holiday season and there is more food insecurity than we have seen in recent years. Mm-hmm. And just a friendly reminder, any chance you can have to give back, it doesn't necessarily mean that you have to spend money. Granted, I do like to do, if I feel comfortable with money, when you go to the grocery store and they have those $20 sort of like Thanksgiving kits that are
packaged. Like a little like pre-bags thing. Yeah, yeah.
That can go to a person in need. Like, listen, some of us may not have that extra $20, but that's an option. If you do feel like giving, like, you can volunteer at your local food bank, at a local organization, and getting hot meals out to people, especially this time of year, I think is a great thing to do.
Absolutely. I have a friend that did some volunteer work for a food pantry, and she basically like, she was chopping like mise en place for like Thanksgiving prep. And she was like, I don't have a feeling in like my pointer finger on my one hand because I chopped so much celery and carrots for so long. Here's a really cool LA based, food donation program. It's called Los Angeles Community Fridges. Mm-hmm. Have you heard of this? I have before and I've stocked them before. So they're all over. There's one in Glassell Park. There's one close to us. So they're basically these fridges that have like beautiful graffiti. They're painted, you know, and they're free food for anybody. Mm-hmm. Anybody can take and leave. So if you want to stock either the pantry or some sort of like, you know, perishable in one of these fridges, you can just go buy. I mean, typically this time of year, if I go to Costco, I'll buy like, you know, if I buy eggs, I'll buy like an extra like 24 pack of eggs and just go like put one in the fridge and people can come take a few eggs, take all the eggs, whatever. It's just it's a good way to give back and make sure people's bellies are you know, getting filled up this time of year.
I don't usually talk about it, but if we're talking about it, we do also have like the local really close by to me. It's just a great, it's not a fridge, so it's got to be dry goods.
Oh, yeah, pantry? Like
yeah,
that. Yeah,
it's just an open air sort of pantry. And yeah, I mean, when I'm feeling good with money, you'd be surprised how much $50 can give you in terms of staples that people could really use. And it is, I don't know, like, because I'm crazy in service industry, like, you really start to be like, I really want to map out this meal that someone might possibly make.
And,
you know, and granted, you know, like, I'm not buying top shelf everything because I want the money to go farther. But you're just like, okay, if I'm going to buy a couple jars of red sauce, some pasta, they're also getting some delicious Kraft Parmesan cheese, a couple jars of that are going out there, and just, you know, anything you can give so that people can really stock up. And I like to think of buying food that can stretch the most to feed people and make them feel good. But yeah, I'll go Absolutely. Sometimes drop 50 or 100 and just go jam pack those shelves. And I think one time it got cleared out in a day. It wasn't.
Wow.
Yeah, I have to drive by it. It wasn't me like sitting there going like, you're welcome, like out my car window.
That's great. But yes, you know, like we said, you guys, if you have the means, you know, give a little this holiday season.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app today to get free delivery on your first three orders, while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Well, guys, we're just jumping into a nice, tight little episode today and our topic of the day because it is Black Friday, y'all. We're going to talk about the origin of Black Friday since we're sort of been on a retail kick.
Yeah, let's do it. So we start with like the fun history.
Yes. Yes. Okay. I'm going to make a TikTok of this later, too. So if you don't hear it on the podcast, maybe you'll see me online. I just found this out. This is a fun Thanksgiving tidbit. So Thanksgiving had always in America been celebrated on the last Thursday of November. But in 1939, President Franklin Delano Roosevelt, he caved to mounting pressures from another NRA of sorts, not the National Rifle Association, but this one's called...
And not the National Restaurant Association.
Not that either.
And it's the third in line of NRA.
It is, with a few extra, you know, letters in the acronym, but it's the National Retail Dry Goods Association. So it's the NRDGA, okay?
Oh!
Yeah. So... this, you know, obviously these are retailers who make their money through retail and dried goods of all sort. They had been pushing, apparently, and really, really petitioning to FDR that Turkey Day be set back a week earlier in November to kick off the holiday shopping season. So then that would give retailers an additional week to, you know, they can put things on sale for the upcoming holiday season. Usually this is when a lot of companies make their year. So... they petition this, it gets approved by FDR to move it now to the third week of November. And of course, America flipped the fuck out. understandably, the decision was confusing. It became really controversial. And everyone started sort of like facetiously calling FDR's new holiday Franksgiving.
Franks, that sounds delicious, by the way. It's as if there was like a hot dog exchange happening. That's what it makes me think of.
Everyone, if you're just bored and watching TV, we were perusing old episodes of No Reservations with Anthony Bourdain, which is on HBO. And I think it's like season 4 or 5, but the episode in Maine is so good. We just watched it yesterday and boy, do they love bean suppers and right?
I remember this.
But Frank, yeah, like red hots, you get a plate of beans and then just the reddest red hot dog put on top of there with like a biscuit, homemade slaw, delicious beans with all sorts of like pork fat. And anyways, that main episode was kind of awesome. I loved it. So, Franksgiving. But, okay, back to the recently changed, without very much heads up, Turkey Day. Only 23 states actually adopted the change to go back a week earlier to celebrate Thanksgiving. So, for a few years, some people had to deal with double Thanksgiving, like two Thursdays in a row. Like, if you had relatives or something that you... crossed a state line to visit in a state that was like, we're not doing that. You would have to like, or like, what if you, can you?
I mean, this has been dubbed like a bang bang. You could dub it that, you know? But also like, I'm sure a lot of people were like, I've hit the jackpot. Thank you, FDR. Like, you know, they're like, I'm going to have two Thanksgivings. Go across state lines next week. Get another turkey in my belly.
Yeah. Meanwhile, the women who were forced to prepare it top to bottom were like, fuck you, FDR.
But like, you know, compared to like the Friendsgivings that people have, like in addition to their regular Thanksgiving and how everybody does it today, I feel like it's not that far off from what is celebrated today. I mean, I feel like there's multiple celebrations that people do, like, you know, the week of. Like, I personally just do the one. I could not do two. That's just me.
Oh, God. I can't even imagine.
But
double Thanksgiving. I'm just thinking more of like getting together with family two times over the Thanksgiving. Can you even imagine
it? I agree. That's true. And maybe the fighting over to be like, well, I guess it's like if one was whoever was the sloppy seconds was probably pissed off most of the time, you know, or they had like they were like, oh, I can improve on this next week because this stinks this week. So like next week, I'm going to do a better job here.
Have you guys gone to New Thanksgiving? It wasn't very good. They hadn't worked out the kinks of New Thanksgiving yet. So come on over to Fourth Thursday Thanksgiving where we fucking know what's up. Anyways. Thanksgiving in the United States, as we know it, was rectified in 1941. And at this point, too, with everything we've learned about Native Americans or whatever, like I call it Food Day and thanks for my friends and family. And, you know, that's where we're
at. So now it's just the fourth Thursday as opposed to the last Thursday, correct? Which, I mean, honestly, well, no, I feel like
Okay.
That it's the fourth Thursday always, right? So now I'm thinking like this, it probably fell on the same day sometimes, depending on like how everything landed that year.
Yes, because
like this year specifically, if it was olden times, it would have been the last Thursday, which is the 30th.
Yes.
But it's the 23rd. But not every November is like that.
Okay.
So sometimes it is just the last one. So, or the fourth one is the last one.
So
I'm just saying, like, I feel like, you know, we're driving each other crazy just schematically talking about it now. You know, imagine the frenzy that happened, just the trickle down.
Right.
You know,
because
of the news, like we're winding through the hills, you know, like I'm not sure how fast news traveled back then.
Well, they didn't have calendars back then, and they only had the telephone wire.
They didn't have calendars back then.
Just kidding. Anyways, boy. I found that to be highly amusing. And then here we are today, and what we're talking about is the actual history of Black Friday. Some of our sources we used is Britannica. I mean, God bless a Britannica.
I mean,
right? And
you get the whole set.
Some History Channel articles and CNBC. Would you like to tackle a little bit of this?
Yeah, sure. So it's believed that the term Black Friday derives from the concept that businesses operate at a financial loss or in the red until the day after Thanksgiving, when massive sales finally allow them to turn a profit and put them into the black. However, this is untrue in the origin. A more accurate explanation of the term dates back to the early 1960s when police officers in Philadelphia began using the phrase Black Friday to describe the chaos that resulted when large numbers of suburban tourists came into the city and began their holiday shopping and in some years attend Saturday's annual Army-Navy football game.
Right. So it was like a huge influx for shopping and football, which is an unholy combination.
Right.
Of
but
people.
It's always been the big shopping day, I think, no matter what. Right. I kind of always feel like because it's the first day of shopping after like Christmas season is upon us. It's time to get out there. Families are together. They're out. They're shopping. They're doing their thing. And football is a huge thing for Thanksgiving weekend anyway. So
of course it is.
Specifically for Philadelphia. Okay. So not only were Philly cops not able to take the day off, but they had to work extra long shifts dealing with the additional crowds and traffic. And shoplifters also took advantage of this in stores and made off with merchandise, adding to the law enforcement headache.
It's almost like if you build it, they will come. You start calling it a pandemonium. You give it a name like Black Friday. And
right.
Suddenly everyone's like, what's this now? I think I want to participate, you know?
I mean, I imagine it's tough. Philly's a tough place.
Oh, yeah. They throw batteries at you at sports games.
They do battery giveaways at sports games and then they throw the batteries. I think they threw them at like a Santa Claus.
Probably.
That was on the field. I have to look up the specific origin of the story.
I love that after a few years of trying to call Black Friday that in Philadelphia, the city merchants tried to put a prettier sort of spin on it by calling it Big Friday. But everyone's like, no, it's Black Friday. And the cool thing is, you know, like we were saying before, the Black Friday for retailers, it signified a positive boost in retail sales, but it was not until the late 1980s where once again, Franklin Delano Roosevelt ratified Black Friday. Basically the phrase Black Friday stuck and it didn't become like a U.S. phenomenon though until the late 1980s. When merchants really, really did start to spread that, you know, we're in the red, now we're in the black narrative. Because, you know, like basically Black Friday and many days after that are now obviously the biggest shopping day in the United States. And many, many businesses, they count on this season to really make their year and to, you know, give them a bump into the upcoming year. So obviously, yeah, right before Christmas is a big time. And then obviously, Black Friday got followed by other shopping holidays that were created. Obviously, we know there's Small Business Saturday.
Right.
Did you know about this? So I didn't. In 2010, where this came around, the consumer shit show really kind of came full circle when American Express, the credit card, you know, basically dreamed up the concept of Small Business Saturday and the company offered free online ads for small businesses. So then, which I do love. And in 20,
I mean, they're still charging them per transaction. So let's not, you know, it's not like it's all free.
Well,
you
know? Free advertising. I know, yeah, Amex. Yeah. But in 2011, people just really loved and latched onto the idea of shopping local. And so then Small Business Saturday numbers actually overtook Black Friday for a little bit.
See, that's great. I really prefer a Small Business Saturday. And then I think it's Record Day also new. Maybe I'm wrong. I'm not going to say anything about that, but I feel like Record Day is sometime soon or not. Anyway, listen to me.
I think that's not around this time of year.
I think it's spring.
I do too. But then
what am I thinking?
Then obviously there's Cyber Monday. Yeah,
yes, yes.
Which we all get.
Which is essentially just like another Black Friday. It's all chaos all weekend. And now like Black Friday is basically just like Cyber Month because like everything's stretched out now for weeks prior.
It starts and it goes is the thing. It's well, because obviously with all of the online retail, the physical act of, you know, basically getting squashed in a line, it's just sort of like lost.
No, totally. They're like, let's casualties. We'll put it on sale. We'll give the options to everybody from the comfort of their own home and you can pick it up. Things got really out of hand there for a minute.
They really did. So just because I was seeing some articles too that are saying Black Friday mayhem might be a thing of the past, not only because of Cyber Monday, but also COVID. You've got plenty of people who are like, I don't want to be around mouth breathers in a small confined space at this point, even though obviously many people are excited to do back in person shopping. We know very well that there is a large swath of people who are still not comfortable with that and are happy to do the online thing. I was reading an article too where these people were like, let's go do the thing. Like, let's get in line at Target at 4:30 in the morning.
No.
And then they were like, there's nobody here. It's just us. And so they're
skipping around the store.
Exactly. So I can also think demographically it might depend where you live and all that.
That's
stuff
totally
too.
True. It's totally true. Did you have any family members that like really love to like camp out?
Nope.
Get up early?
That is 100% not my family.
Not our thing. No.
My mom hates shopping, period.
Yeah, I don't think that my mom was very happy with it either. I mean, it doesn't seem like something like, you know, we've always, it doesn't matter. You know, when there's two females in your family, you tend to get a lot of the same things, but just in different colors. And it's not very fun.
Yeah. Like, for instance, we have a good friend, Adina, whose mom accidentally had an ordering snafu and accidentally ordered 45 French presses. So, everyone's getting French presses.
I got a French press.
I didn't need one, but I was offered a French press on Saturday.
There's also Giving Tuesday, which we kind of already like alluded to giving and how you can do it. But Giving Tuesday, definitely like a lot of foundations will basically be like, we'll match this amount. If we can meet this amount, we will match it, or just your opportunity to give or donate to your favorite causes.
I like that too, because say, like I was saying earlier, like if you're a person who's like, I got $20. That's what I got. Giving Tuesday can be great because your $20 becomes $40 based on where you're donating and whatever. So keep an eye out for that if that's of interest to you. And then, I mean, lastly, we were talking about it at the top of the show a little bit, but statistically, how does Black Friday bode for service industry workers? So there was an NPT group study, which I don't fucking know what that means. But the big traditional shopping holidays are not the highest, like sit down, dine in, fine dining restaurant volume days. Actually Black Friday is like on the 14th in terms of, the number of people who come out
to eat. The busiest day of the year. Okay.
In and around holidays. And technically, this is interesting. I didn't know that the top restaurant day to go out basically all year is Saturday, the Saturday weekend before Thanksgiving.
Oh, that's interesting. That's probably because like nobody wants to cook and everybody's like, you know, I mean, we all know that like
the they know
Wednesday
they're
before
going to be cooking
is the busiest bar day. Yeah, yeah.
Right.
That's what I mean. Like they're just like, let's just take this one last opportunity to like not cook since we have to cook all week. So that makes tons of sense.
I think if we go back maybe three years ago around this time, I think we did do a Blackout Wednesday episode.
Oh, no, I'm biggest pretty sure. Biggest party. I know that
with
we
James,
did.
Yes. With James. Oh, yeah, yeah. I think it was called COVID Trombones. Anyways. But basically, like restaurants, they can get a boost from the holidays as more shoppers look to give an experience such as a dinner or a beverage gift card. If you're mm-hmm. doing something like offering a really great deal where your restaurant makes money so that you can give someone the gift of eating at a restaurant at a later date, that can be a boost. And also, like, why are people not having a sit-down meal in five courses at a restaurant? They have fucking leftovers. Leftovers.
Oh, my God. Put that stuffing in a waffle maker. Then put a fried egg on top of it. Yum, yum, yum. You know, pie for breakfast all day, every day. Pie for breakfast.
Nog season is official. Nog season starts this weekend.
You know, I was just at Broken Compass, which is this really awesome like tiki bar that's and we still need to go, and you need to see like the revamped version of it. But I had a chichi the other day, which if you guys know, it's kind of like a pina colada with vodka that's like hand shaken. It's not like blended. But I was talking to the bartender if they're gonna make any homemade eggnogs this season, and they were like, we're pretty sure we are. So we're gonna have to go get some homemade eggnog with full of booze. So good.
Let's have a holiday drink. You know, and we should also just suggest they start just serving Eggo, Appalachian sipping cream. But
no, they have a nog, which is separate. Sipping cream, but they have like an actual eggnog too. I don't think I'm gonna be able to get it. You know,
It's okay.
We'll see.
Last little tidbits of information though is that just according to this article, and then we will get the fuck out of here, is the businesses in the restaurant sector that do see a huge surge on Black Friday are predictably Starbucks.
Oh, sure.
And also at the top of the list was Wendy's.
I feel like people are like, they're doing their shopping. They want to go through a drive-through. They need lunch, or they've done their morning marathon. Mm-hmm. The 24-hour spots get hit a lot. So, you know, what's going to be open early after you've like trampled somebody in a retail shopping area? Denny's, IHOP, you know, that's totally what you need to do.
Yep. So if you're working at, you know, get at us. Talk to us about your Black Friday crowds. Because, yeah, it's clearly people are carb loading before or after they crack some skulls at Best Buy. But, you know, but that's just kind of that's it. We wanted to keep it simple and light.
Yeah. Yeah. We hope you guys have a safe, happy holiday weekend, no matter how you celebrate, no matter what you celebrate. We appreciate you. We're thankful for you. Brooke, I'm thankful for you.
I'm thankful for you. And we're thankful for Brian. And we're thankful for all of our listeners here at Sidework.
All right. And you know what we say at the end of every episode?
Godspeed.
And good tips.
Talk to you next week.
Thank you. Thank you.